caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Keeker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Keeker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. And we have a wonderful program on tap with my friend and special guest in studio. He is Mr. Bruce Glenn, the Senior Wealth Manager and President of Rally Wealth and Benefits. And Bruce, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here as always.
All right. So if you want to reach out to Bruce Glenn and the fantastic team at Rally Wealth and Benefits, here's the phone number in the Kansas City area, 913-308-0277. And guess what? Rally has clients and businesses all around the country that they do business with and help out. So the toll-free number nationwide, 888-241-2361. Of course, you could go online at their fantastic website, rallywb.com. And Bruce, I'm really looking forward to this one. We're going to be talking about a little something that happened in Congress recently.
Right. The One Big Beautiful Bill Act.
Yeah.
And that's over 1,000 pages of legislation that I'm going to uncover in about 10 minutes.
There How's we go. That? Hey, all right. Hey, that's perfect.
The rabbit hole will not be very deep on any topic, but we'll try and give you a good overview.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think it's important because, frankly, this stuff gets politicized in on both sides of the aisle. And I love the fact that we're just going to be talking about some of the highlights on here, but it may be information that a lot of people haven't heard of, frankly. So,
well, there is a lot of misinformation out there on it,
yep.
And there's a lot of political divisiveness over it.
Yeah,
in fact, it barely passed the House by one vote, and then it fast-tracked through the Senate, and then President Trump signed July 4th. So it's been a big undertaking all year.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go ahead and jump into our first bullet point here.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm going to touch a little bit on taxes, on how it affects businesses, our energy policy. I'll probably drill down on that a little bit more because that was the part I covered on our webinar yesterday, mm-hmm. which is kind of funny. I was talking on the webinar. And it's like, well, gee, this webinar, I better put my jacket on versus radio show. I can wear my T-shirt, right?
That's right. You don't even have to comb your hair or anything. So.
There's some touches on health care and foreign exposure to some of our sensitive areas. And then there's also some touch there on the SALT, the State and Local Tax Act that got capped out a few years ago. They've made an adjustment on that. Thanks. I'll just start right there.
Yeah.
The cap was $10,000 on the previous SALT tax. The new OBBBA has raised that to $40,000 on that. So that's going to be a little bit more tax planning. And backing up to what you said about the website and our team, I'd like to remind everybody that we also have in-house CPA tax planning. We have estate planning. We have group health, dental, vision, along with our 401k practice, our 529, our private wealth management. And then we have experts on property and casualty insurance, yourself with senior care,
yep.
and Medicare supplements and drug plans and advantage plans. So really anything that somebody needs from financial nature, we have it all under one roof. So anything that, don't just say, well, I don't need to talk about wealth, that you may have another problem or issue you want to talk about.
Absolutely. And you've created a very broad, diverse team with a lot of specialists available to help, all of your clients in one area or another. So, yeah, you've done a really great job with that. So.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So let's talk about the energy. And first of all, I have to start off by saying this is not a political statement.
Yep.
I just want to try and cover the black and the white and the cause and the effects of what's going on in Washington, D.C. when it comes to our energy. And one thing that is nice is I think the whole country is unified behind the fact that we want to have good, clean, pollution-free as much as possible
yep.
energy the whole way across.
Yes.
The difference really is that, one side of the political aisle is, pushing hard for clean renewables with wind, solar, geo, battery storage, and kind of at the expense of what we've been using for the last, 100, 150 years on the fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And then the other side of the political aisle is like, hey, we're not to where we can afford to go nothing but clean because it'd break our economy. We're in all of the above camp right now, But we would all like to see in 30, 40, 50 years be totally clean, renewable resources.
Sure.
It's just a matter of timing.
I think most reasonable people think that way.
Yeah, I think so, too. But, again, I'm trying to not get political.
Sure.
But I think we all want to eventually get to where, if the wind and the solar would cover everything or hydro, then great.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not there yet. So
No. And so the energy pieces to this – President Trump is trying to stop the government from taking political sides. So the last couple of administrations gave a ton of tax credits and deductions to new energy resources, clean energy resources, at the expense of the taxpayers.
Yep.
And trying to push that. And then they also had put some road bumps and additional regulations against, like, coal, for example. In fact, it's one of our political candidates a few years back wanted to totally close down the coal industry.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not smart. And then, four years ago, we shut down some main pipelines that caused. And so right now where we're sitting at, we're paying about $1.20 a gallon more for gas than we did, 2019, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, fuel, and the reason I get so excited about it because – from the stock market standpoint, investments on my clients, fuel, is the problem with inflation. I mean, fuel flows through everything that we touch, buy,
every use, single thing, yeah.
Right. And so when you're paying $1.20 a gallon, which is, 40% higher than it used to be, that means that's a direct flow to, our grocery stores and everything else that we're doing. So that's why this is so important. But anyway, so the new bill, what they've done is they're phasing out a lot of these tax credits and deductions to the clean energies, and they're also reducing some of the regulatory environment that's been, a trouble to coal and to getting refineries expanded and more up to date and pipelines and, things like that. So those are really, really important.
And I've always been a fan of – and there's nothing wrong with governmental – subsidies to try to kickstart some of these technologies and that sort of thing. But I am a huge fan of let the private market develop that and turn it into something that is affordable and replicatable around the country and let the private market do that. I think the private market will do a much better job than the government trying to insert itself into that effort.
Yeah, I agree on a whole on that. There are certain circumstances, you go back through history, and there are some issues that really needed to happen that wouldn't have happened if government hadn't stepped in and helped get it started. But I'm not a big fan of the government putting the finger on the scales of balance for very long, if at all. So I agree. One thing that's kind of funny about the, again, it's such a political topic, and depending on what news channel you get your sources from, some of them are even the reports we've seen, early reports on this OBBA program is that, this is going to be catastrophic to jobs, blah, 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 blah. Well, the reality of it is it will reduce jobs probably in these ones that were tax subsidized, solar, wind, geo, these type areas.
Yep.
But if you think about it, if they deregulate or reduce regulations and problems with coal and fossil fuels and pipelines and all that, that'll get those jobs going again.
Correct.
So I don't see it as a net loss of jobs. I see it as a shifting, and our economy is always shifting to whatever the next new thing is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really see the jobs as being a problem here, although you're going to hear that scaremongering from a lot of the news outlets out there.
And that's the politicization
right.
of all these topics. And it kind of drives me crazy, frankly. So
Yeah. So the one biggest thing that came from this, and our viewing and listening audience probably isn't going to really see the effect from this, but they would have seen it if it didn't get done.
Yep.
So President Trump and his first administration enacted a major tax reform and tax cut. That was scheduled to sunset this year. If it was allowed to sunset, the average American's federal tax piece of their paycheck would have gone up by 22.4%.
Ouch.
That could have very easily thrown us into a recession.
Yep.
I'm not saying recession is unavoidable or that this is going to keep us from getting into a recession at some point, but that would have been a real big problem if all of a sudden your paycheck is down by – in some cases, hundreds of dollars per payroll. That's money not going into the economy. That could have thrown us into a recession pretty easily. So that was one of the best things about this, in my opinion, is they extended these, made those tax cuts permanent. So really important.
All right. If this is catching your attention, if you have questions about this, if you'd like to reach out to Bruce and his excellent team at Rally Wealth and Benefits, give him a call, 913-308-0277, toll-free 888-241-2361, online at rallywb.com. And I'll tell you what, Bruce, I think there are a lot of listeners out there that are just unaware of some of the, just like you said, we're going to keep this black and white and just the facts.
yes, Joe Friday.
It's very much appreciated. So, Bruce, we'll pick that up on the other side. Let's not forget about the Senior Care Live question of the week. Because of the one big, beautiful bill, I don't have to pay taxes on Social Security anymore. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Now back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Because of the one big, beautiful bill, I don't have to pay taxes on Social Security anymore. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. The answer is false. And Bruce, why is that statement false?
Right. So in some cases, some people will virtually not pay taxes on Social Security, because what they've done basically is that you did have a standard deduction, $1,000 for single and $2,000 for joint filing. But they've increased that by $6,000 on the standard deduction. So that may knock some people out of having to pay tax on the Social Security or their overall tax bill. The estimate is somewhere around 60% of the people that are on Social Security, this will help them to a great degree. So
okay,
maybe eliminate that tax altogether.
Yeah. All right. We're speaking with Bruce Glenn. He is an expert in all matters financial. He's a senior wealth manager and president of Rally Wealth and Benefits in Kansas City, 913-308-0277. Toll free is 888-241-2361 and online at rallywb.com. And Bruce, let's continue our conversation on the one big, beautiful bill.
Very good. So I'm going to kind of just roll through some other, you know, bullet points I feel like are kind of some of the bigger ones that are in the bill. And again, the details are still kind of unwinding out of this, and there may be some challenges in some of it. And you know how Washington, D.C. is. You know,
yep.
But anyway, so just kind of touch again. I already mentioned this earlier, but the SALT tax, and I think this is one of the two most important items for our listening audience, is that state and local tax cap of $10,000 that was implemented probably, 8, 10, 12 years ago, is now raised to $40,000. So that's going to mean, from a tax planning standpoint, itemization, a lot of people went to just using standard deduction. Now the reason to itemize may increase for quite a few people right there.
Because that's going to raise the taxes a little bit.
It gives you the ability to deduct more of your interest and property taxes beyond that $10,000 limit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, which caps a lot of people out. And then you just, what used to be deductible wasn't. So now a lot of that will become deductible again, which helps. So this is interesting. So again, President Trump, he's pro-American, America first. This is a good example of that. So there's a car loan interest deduction in the bill of up to $10,000 on interest if it's a U.S.-built car. Now, the real question is, well, what is a U.S.-built car?
Yeah.
And so so we believe it's designed to be cars that are completed in the U.S.
So they could be assembled in the U.S.
Yeah, maybe a Nissan in Tennessee or Kia, where, I don't know where all the different plants are, different cars. I know Nissan's. I run through one of those. It's huge down in Mississippi when I drive through that area. But anyway, that's the point there is that there will be an incentive to buy American on the car front. And then, charity, and I like this a lot. So charity really took a back seat after some of this previous tax reform bill or inflation, whatever they call that bill, did. But they're going to implement where charity you can do your $1,000-$2,000 joint starting in 2026, and there's no income phase out for it. So that's going to help churches and non-for-profits quite a bit. And I'm not really getting all the way into that one, but there is a lot of advantage to charity that this bill helps out with, which I'm glad to see that as well.
Good.
The estate plan – so this is kind of like the taxes that were going to expire and would have gone way up. The estate planning or estate taxes were going to expire also. And so this extends the $15 million and the $30 million for, you know, couples for the, you know, very few people that fit into that category. But there's a lot of people that fit in at some point that would – because it would have gone back, I think – don't hold me to this, but I think it would have gone back to, you know, like $600,000 or anything above that would have been subject to tax.
Oh, boy.
Which is
okay.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
And so and most people would have fallen into that situation, just
yep.
Your home. And so that's going to make that a lot better for families to, you know, be able to keep their wealth in their generations to come categories. So I like that. There's also a newborn. The United States is going to give parents with a newborn a deposit into a savings account, and then the parents can put some money with that also. So they're trying to incentivize birth rate. And I know it sounds kind of silly, but if you think about China, you know, China has this big goal of becoming the number one economic engine in the world. Well, China has a big problem. Their birth rates are very, very low. And they've got, you know, a lot smaller population base of younger people supporting the older people. And that's a trickle down effect that gets worse and worse and worse if you've got a big disruption in your population base. And we've had slowing population numbers also. So they're trying to incentivize that, or at least make it a little bit easier for new parents.
And they're also incentivizing starting to save on behalf of your newborn child from day one. And that pays off in buckets later on, you know, for, you know, saving for college or, you know, your first home or whatever it might be once that child is grown. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, and then there's another one of these things. So this is kind of a funny thing that a lot of our clients and a lot of people try and walk a fine line. If they retire before 65 and you've got the Obamacare available to you, there's different levels of tax credits that go towards them getting their premiums on the health insurance to a low manageable level. And they have to have a certain level of income, and the government offsets a lot of the cost. So that's actually going to stop in 2026. So the game of playing that is going to come to an end, fortunately or unfortunately. I guess fortunately from a tax standpoint for the government, but unfortunately for folks who are in that situation where they want to retire early. And COBRA only carries you so far, and then now you've got a problem like, how do I get my health insurance? And then if it costs you the full cost of it, that could hurt a lot of people in that regard.
Yep. And COBRA is pretty expensive because, you know, even for that period of time, you're paying the full freight on that health insurance, and your company is no longer subsidizing that. So
Gets
really expensive all of a sudden. It should be part of what is calculated into that decision of retiring early. So
yeah, 100%. And so, and one other potential effect from the OBBA is that we could take on some extra debt in the short term because some of these tax cuts are going to kick in until some of that, you know, the trickle down effect kind of broadens the tax base. So the bond market could see some effect by that. So we're kind of watching that carefully, and we'll see where we take effect on that. What we do, yeah, we're kind of taking the short end of the duration on bonds just to try and minimize the federal reserve tax or the interest adjustments, and we'll see what this tax does as well. So we're going to keep pretty tight on our bond rates. And then, so just kind of a reminder, during COVID, we got up to about 130% of GDP on our debt.
Mm.
It's reduced a little bit down to about 120% on our debt, but we're still a debtor nation, so we need to get this further in control. I think the overall bill will improve that in the long run, but, you know, in the short term, maybe a little bit of pain with it.
All right. He is Mr. Bruce Glenn. He's the senior wealth manager and president of Rally Wealth and Benefits in Kansas City, 913-308-0277 or toll free 888-241-2361 online at rallywb.com. And Bruce, thanks so much for taking time to give us a really nice overview of some of the highlights of the One Big Beautiful Bill. You did a beautiful job.
It's a beautiful day, baby.
All right. We'll have more coming up next.
Thanks, Steve.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
All right. So I've been talking to quite a few folks here recently. They're going to be searching for a long-term care community, also known as a nursing home. Now, that's a bad word in the business. They don't like the nursing home word or term because that comes with a lot of baggage. And I would remind the industry that's baggage well earned. But I will also give major credit to kind of taking care of that. And you don't see anything today like we used to see back in the day when it had very bad connotation and where all the baggage came from. So anyway, much, much, much improved, much better now, not even close. So if you're going to be searching for a long-term care community, this is the highest level of care that is available. And what does that mean? I refer to it as the medical model. So they can help you in all the ways that an assisted living level of care or an assisted living community can help with your bathing, dressing, grooming, toileting, incontinence support, medication management, making all the meals for you, you know, all those sort of things. Plus medical needs, such as wound care, such as pain management, urinary catheter care, feeding tubes, diabetic management with insulin injections, very heavy personal care. So if someone is just not able to help themselves and it takes two staff or maybe even a mechanical lift to help a person from point A to point B, maybe someone, and God bless them if they're maybe even bedridden at that point because they just need so much care and they're not able to get up and get around, that heavy, heavy personal care is also provided along with all of the medical needs. So that's when you would need long-term care. And also, you know, many, many times the resident will have cognitive issues, cognitive impairment, and they can help out with that to a point. Now, if the long-term care community has a memory care neighborhood or memory care portion of the community, then they can help you with all of those medical needs as well as your cognitive needs and address the issue of potential elopement or wandering away from the building or the community, as well as, you know, overstimulation, all the other things that memory care would address. You could have memory care at the long-term care level, and you can have just what I term as just general care, just good old-fashioned general everyday care. So again, it's that medical model. It's the highest level available, and it's also the most expensive. And there's more staffing in long-term care relative to assisted living or residential care or Home Plus, although Home Plus has really good staffing levels, actually. We're going to have a lot more RNs, a lot more LPNs, and just generally, overall, more staffing. Because guess what? The residents need more help, so that just makes sense. So on the pricing model, okay, it's a daily rate. At this point, you're paying a daily rate. It's not, you know, a 30-day, you know, month by month. Like most assisted living communities, it's a monthly charge of X dollars. So in long-term care, you have a daily rate, and then there are two types of rooms. So you have a shared room where you're going to have a roommate, and then you're going to have a private room, which really comes at a premium. See, by the time you need and make it to that long-term care level, it's mostly about the care that you receive and not much about your personal space at that point. Now, you can use a lot of the other spaces and areas within the community. And then your room is really more of kind of a bedroom type of a setup where you would, of course, sleep overnight, take naps, et cetera, hang out, read a book. You can stay in there as much as you'd like, But the idea is for that to be more of a bedroom type of a setup, and then you would use other parts of the building throughout the day for other needs and other purposes. So for that shared room, you have a roommate, okay, and in the Midwest, and I think these numbers, I think, are pretty applicable for most parts of the country. You're going to be anywhere from, you know, 275, 280-ish per day up to, you know, maybe 300 a day, 330 a day, 340 a day, right in there. And then the private room, again, this comes at a premium. Your private room is going to be maybe 350 to maybe upwards of about $500 a day. Take that times 30 and you're like, wow, don't wreck your car. don't spit out your coffee if you're listening to this in the morning. So it's very expensive. Now I'm asked all the time. Now, isn't there a buy-in when you move into long-term care? No, absolutely not. It's a daily rate. Now, typically, they would want you to pay for that 30 days, you know, up front on the first day of the month. So you're writing a check for $9,000 to $15,000. If for some reason you should choose to move during the middle of the month, or if you should pass away, or for any other reason that you're not there in the building, they would prorate that. And if you had, you know, 15 days at $300 a day, they're going to send you a check for, what is that, $4,500, right? So that's how that works. But the rate is a daily charge. There is no buy-in. There is no entrance fee. There is not a community fee at this level. You just move in, receive care. And there's always a huge, huge question, and I address this all the time with my clients with Senior Care Consulting. I ask the very good question of, is there a chance that you might outlive your assets? And more often than not, the answer is, well, yeah, there is a chance. I mean, we don't know how long we're going to live. We have X dollars. We have our income of X dollars a month. We have these other assets that are available. We're getting ready to sell our house, and that's going to add to our asset base. So we could do some basic math and figure out that their assets along with their income would pay for example, a shared room for the next, you know, 48 months, 60 months, 2 months, whatever the number is. We'll do the math, and we can get you pretty close as an estimate. But what happens if you should outlive your assets? Then what we're going to have to do at that point is make sure then to discuss Medicaid. At that point, you're going to need to qualify for Medicaid, and I like to refer to Medicaid as the safety net. That says if you should outlive your assets and you require care at that long-term care level, then the Medicaid program, they've got you covered. That's your safety net. They will end up paying, ultimately pay, the majority of your monthly cost each and every month once you qualify. So that's pretty incredible. Now, I have received over the years all kinds of calls from people saying, we moved into this place and we thought we were in good shape, and we figured, well, if we ran out of money, you know, we're going to get that Medicare thing or that, oh, whatever that thing is called, and we're good to go. And then we find out that the long-term care community we're living in, they don't work with Medicaid. So I guess we're going to have to move. Can you help us? Because we obviously didn't get this one right the first time. I've even had some people say, Don't tell me, if we would have worked with you in the first place, this wouldn't be happening. And I said, well, I hate to say it, but it's true. It wouldn't have happened. With Senior Care Consulting, I'm a meticulous planner, and we plan for all of the potential scenarios, including what happens if you should run out of money. And most people are like, well, we wouldn't want to move. We would want to stay there and age in place. And that's yes, of course. So we will plan for that. Senior Care Consulting will not let you make a mistake. If that's resonating with you, maybe you're in a place and you have some questions and you're like, maybe we need to look at our options. Give me a call at 913-945-2800 and let's talk about that. I'm going to have a whole lot more about Medicaid coming up.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
All right, so you're looking at moving to a long-term care community. We talked about what it is, what it provides, the cost, and then we are addressing the question of what happens if you're living in long-term care and you outlive your assets. It's a huge question. And trust me, I get calls all the time from families who they were not aware of exactly how all this stuff works. And there was, a good salesperson. They forgot to mention things and the family didn't know to ask certain things, and then they're in a pickle. They're in a predicament. I get calls all the time. Steve, they said that my dad could live here, for the rest of his life, and now he's going to have to move because he's out of money. And I thought they would bill that Medicare, that Medicaid thing, and did they lie to me? And I'm like, nope, leave me out of it. I wasn't there. But here's the bottom line is, you're in a private pay only community, or maybe they have an unwritten policy of you have to be able to privately pay for your own care for 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, could even be longer than that. And maybe you weren't aware of that or whatever the situation is. But the bottom line is, you're out of money. You're going to have to move. And I've helped lots and lots of people. I've turned it around very quickly. I've helped them get out of kind of a bind, if you will, or a jam, if you will, and help them move to another community where it worked out just wonderfully. And they were able to qualify for Medicaid, and we just kind of move on past this whole thing. So Medicaid, again, is that safety net that says if you should outlive your assets and if you should need care at the long-term care level, we'll pay for the majority of it. So here's how that works. What you're going to do is I'm just going to go on a quick overview. And then here in the near future, I have a couple of different elder law attorneys that I'll have on the show, and I'll have them explain it better than I can. But let me give you the basic overview here. So this program is designed to help pay the majority of your care when you're almost out of money. That's what it's for. So to get there and figure out how to qualify for it, you have exempt assets and you have countable assets. So your exempt asset, your house is exempt for now. There's a lot more to that story. But your house, you don't have to sell your house or somebody said we have to sign over mom's house to get. No, you don't. No, you don't have to do that. I've heard that about 1,000 times, I think. No, you don't have to do that. The house is exempt for now. Take care of mom, then we'll deal with the house later. You can have a car. You can have an investment in a prepaid funeral plan, which is a great idea. You can have a small amount of cash value and a small life insurance policy, and then all your household goods, all the stuff in your house. Those things are exempt. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to sell them. You don't have to, just don't worry about that. The countable assets, almost everything else. So just think liquid assets, checking, savings, money market, mutual funds, CDs, 401ks, IRAs, all this stuff. Okay. Those are countable assets. Now, each state could have slightly different rules. Okay. So for example, I'm broadcasting from our flagship station, and we're right here in Kansas City. So Kansas City straddles a state line. So part of it's in Kansas, part of it's in Missouri. There are differences. In certain circumstances, 401ks and IRAs of the community spouse on the Kansas side, they're exempt. They're off the table, but you have to count them in Missouri. And that can make a huge, gigantic difference for the community spouse, the spouse who will stay in the home. Okay, so and again, I don't have a lot of time to get into all of these particulars, but think liquid assets, and you have to spend your assets down, your liquid assets down. Say you have $50,000 checking, savings, and maybe a small CD or something like that, okay? So you spend the money down. In the state of Kansas, you're going to be almost broke, down to $2,000, and then boom, you're qualified. It's just a black and white numbers test here. In Missouri, you can spend it down to $5,909. Boom, you qualified. In most states around the country, they're somewhere in this area. You're almost out of money, and then you qualify. That's the whole point of it. It's the safety net that says we'll pay for the majority of the cost of long-term care when you outlive your assets. Now, I mentioned that community spouse. What if you have a couple, not an individual, where let's say the husband needs long-term care, and let's say the wife is staying home, still doing fine, living independently. Then in that case, you would determine the amount of liquid assets, and then you would divide that, half on his side, half on her side, and it gets really complex. But the bottom line is he would spend his half down and qualify, and she would hang on to at least half. Now, there are ways to protect more than that. I'm not getting into all that today. Okay, so, but once you qualify for Medicaid, and they'll pay for a shared room, and they're paying the majority of the cost. Let's say your income is, $1,500 Social Security, about $500 in the pension. You're bringing in a couple of thousand a month. You put most of that, not all of it, most of it toward the cost of care. Medicaid pays the difference, which is, could be $7,000 or $8,000 a month. So with my firm, Senior Care Consulting, a big part of the initial assessment and discussion is how are we going to pay for the high cost of care? And we look at everything. We'll look at assets available, assets that could be liquidated and become available for paying for care. We look at your income. We look at long-term care insurance policies. Now, I don't sell them, but I'm very familiar with them. And I'm very familiar with the insurance world in general. And so I can take a look at your policy, tell you exactly how it works, what it's going to pay, and when the benefits kick in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we'll look at that. What if you or your loved one is a veteran? Can you or they qualify for the VA aid and attendance benefit? We're going to have a discussion about that. And we're going to see if we can get you a really nice benefit as a huge thank you for serving our country to our veterans. So this is a big, big part of it, along with a lot of other moving parts with Senior Care Consulting. So if you're living in long-term care and you want to make a move to a different community, maybe if you're concerned that you're in a community and if you run out of money, they're not Medicaid certified. This happens all the time. Or maybe you're going to move and you want to get it right the first time. You don't want to make mistakes. Reach out to Senior Care Consulting. We would be very happy to visit with you. We do offer a free consultation, 913-945-2800. 913-945-2800, or visit online at seniorcareconsulting.com. And we can definitely help you out with that search and selection process, help you get it right the first time. All right, I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.